Now to a murder case that dates back more than four decades. David Berg is a big-name Texas lawyer, founded his own firm, and argued and won cases before the U.S. Supreme Court. He's also been a civil rights activist and a Clarence Darrow-style defender of the damned, left and right, disgraced politicians, grungy protesters, and Texas celebs. But David Berg may have been keeping his most dramatic case and story bottled up in his heart. David Berg's brother, Alan Berg, was murdered in Houston in 1968. He was 31 years old. Years later, the accused killer's son would become a household name. David Berg's intense, involving, and personal memoir is called Run, Brother, Run. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me on.
You and your brother mostly grew up separately after your parents divorced, but you wanted to be in close, didn't you?
Yes, we did. Our childhoods, early childhoods, rarely overlapped. Our parents, when they separated, divvied us up. Alan went with my father, and I went with Mom. And then when I was 16 years old, he came home from the Navy to Houston. Mm-hmm. And from that point forward, we became close and closer.
Your brother, whatever some of his drawbacks, which we'll talk about, was apparently a hell of a salesman.
He could sell anything to anyone. And I would accompany him when he would go out to sell carpet.
Your father had a carpet company.
Yeah, and he and Dad were partners in that business. Once he talked his way into someone's home, he would sit down cross-legged on the floor and sit there. He would listen very intently to what the potential customer's objections were. Instead of running from them, he would say, I know these are kind of hefty payments each month, but wouldn't you give up those cigarettes that you're smoking to make a dent in those payments if it would make a nicer home for your wife and kids? And there was just nobody he couldn't close.
Did have a gambling problem, didn't he?
He did. Alan had developed a great skill at running crap games. That started when he was about 10 or 11 in New Orleans, when he lived down there with Dad. And that developed into a bad gambling habit of his own, especially the year that he died.
Tell us about, I gather, one of the last times, if not the last time, you saw each other, and that's a meeting in your first law office.
Alan came down the very first day I got my furniture moved in and settled into a cushion. He had a big box with him. He pulled out all kinds of gifts for me for my startup, reams of paper, a Donald Duck eraser, and a lunch kit with... and he... would always do something for me. He would stuff cash into my hands. He talked my way into law school. And at the end of the day, he had leads to go out on.
Carpet leads.
Carpet leads, appointments. And I saw him that night. He was leaning against his car. He stood there, and he told me he loved me and he was proud of me. And I told him that I loved him and I couldn't have done it without him. And then we never spoke again.
Tuesday, May 28, your brother didn't come home.
No.
Can you give us some idea of what life was like for your family in the weeks that follow?
It's very hard to explain except to say that when a loved one disappears, you become detached from anything even remotely that could be described as a normal life. I couldn't take an unlabored breath. My father was so distraught. He would throw up. He would bolt from the middle of sales discussions and just leave and look for my brother. So it was devastating. Finally, Dad hired a private investigator in Houston with a great reputation, Claude Harrelson.
Claude Harrelson. Let's remember that last name.
And magically, within 3 days, Claude said, "Your son has been murdered." And Dad told me everything began to spin. And as it turned out, he demanded $3,000 for information leading to Alan's remains. And Dad said, "Why $3,000? I've already posted a $5,000 reward. And Claude Harrelson said, "I don't know. I don't know who these people are, but if you let this get out, the murderer is going to murder me."
And to tie this up a bit, the man who was, within quick order, charged with the murder, incredibly enough, turned out to be Claude Harrelson's brother.
Charles Harrelson. As it turns out, he not only murdered my brother, did Charles, but combined with Claude and one other man who was involved to shake Dad down for the reward.
Much of this book is devoted to your replay of the trial. You say in this book, if I were on that jury, I'm quoting you, if I were on that jury, I would have had to vote for acquittal too.
Absolutely. Charles Harrelson liked to have witnesses to his murders. It's something that somehow turned him on, excited him. Her name was Sandra Sue Attaway. And without her testimony, the case would crumble and go away. They had a common law marriage. And what that meant was that the jury had to disregard her testimony if they believed there was a common law marriage. Mm-hmm. And without
it. Because a wife cannot testify against her husband.
Exactly.
Yeah. Do you know to this day why your brother was murdered?
I do, but I have some doubts too. There was a business dispute with a former employee of my father and my brother. This former employee went into the same business, carpet sales, in Houston, and Dad tried to run him out of business. There was evidence that he paid Harrelson $1,500 to kill my brother. Once Harrelson was acquitted under Texas law, then this particular man could not be guilty of having hired Harrelson to kill my brother. So he never served.
Let's roll this story forward a number of years. Gets to be 1993. You and your wife go to a Simon and Garfunkel reunion concert at Madison Square Garden in New York. Who winds up sitting next to you?
Woody Harrelson.
And to be clear, this is Woody Harrelson, the actor.
That's right.
And maybe we should pause to explain here. This is Chuck Harrelson's son.
Who has inserted himself into the story, because over the years he has attempted, if not to heroize his dad, to legitimize him. And some of the things Woody Harrelson has said seem to me to be insensitive in trying to legitimize his dad to the survivors of the many men Charles Harrelson murdered. The Texas Rangers think maybe as much as 20. I understand sticking up for your dad, but do it quietly.
David Berg, his new book, Run, Brother, Run, A Memoir of a Murder in My Family. Thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
And you're listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.